Pastor Armin, come. Looking forward to what God has laid upon your heart tonight. And you always have a great word for us.
Amen.
Looking forward to tonight. Bless you.
Thank you, sir. One of the things that I used to recognize people when they call me on the phone is the name that they use to call me. If someone calls me on the phone and says, "Can I speak to Armin?" it's most likely one of my friends from Puerto Rico or from Missouri. If they say, "Can I speak with Pastor Armin?" then it's most likely someone from Ohio or Wisconsin, because the only two places that I've been a pastor in. Now, if I pick up the phone and someone says, "Can I speak with Armin Joe Colon Vasquez," which is my full name, I know that that's my mom, and all of a sudden I get scared. It's like, what did I do? But it is so important when people remember our name. But I've come to tell you that in Scripture, the Bible tells us that God remembers our name. And I've come to tell you in the name of Jesus that God has not forgotten about you. That He remembers your name. That God knows the circumstances that you are going through. When the Bible speaks about God remembering your name, it's not because He forgot your name and all of a sudden He was like, "Oh yeah, your name is John." That's not what it means. It means that He is well acquainted with what you're going through, that He understands, that He cares. And actually, every single time that the Bible says that God remembers someone by name, it's when God is getting ready to step out and do something miraculous and do something supernatural in their lives. And what we're going to do tonight is we're going to see a few of those examples, a few of those times in Scripture where it says that God remembers someone's name. And we're going to see what it has to say to us. This is precisely what God did with Noah. You see, God remembered Noah. God had called Noah to do something very special, very unique. He said, "I am getting ready to punish the land because of their sin, but I don't want to destroy everybody, so I want you to build a way out. I want you to build an ark. I want you to build this large boat that anybody that wants to believe in my word can get in and be saved." And Noah had to obey God and had to take time and effort in building this ark, in doing the will of God. And nobody listened. And then he ushered the animals, said, "The Lord ushered the animals in. The Lord closed the door, and it started raining." And this is where we find ourselves in Genesis chapter 7, verses 23 and 24. "Only Noah was left, and those who were with him in the ark after it started raining. And the waters prevailed on the earth for 150 days. So Noah was saved by God. Noah and his family, they were protected by God. But then there is this awkward time of 5 months where it's not necessarily raining, but the waters are not going anywhere. And he's just floating in this large boat with his family members and a bunch of animals. And the Bible doesn't tell us anything about that time. And God didn't tell Noah what was going to happen next. We know because we've read the story. But Noah didn't know. He didn't understand that God was getting ready to have the waters recede. He didn't understand that there was life after that boat. For all he knew, he was going to die in that boat. Noah had to live 5 months of uncertainty. He didn't know what God was going to do next because that was exactly what God wanted. God wanted Noah to rely on him, to depend on him, to recognize that his future was in his hands, and that Noah needed to be able to grasp that idea. How do you think Noah felt? 5 months. I would have been so concerned. How much water do we have to drink? How much food do we have to eat? You know, these animals are driving me insane. Who let that chicken out, or the dogs? Well, maybe the dogs out. It's just, this is concerning. What is God going to do? And then in Genesis chapter 8, verse 1, we find one of our phrases. But God remembered who? Noah. Let's read it again. But God remembered Noah and all the beasts and all the livestock that were with him in the ark. And God made a wind blow over the earth, and the waters subsided. The Bible says that when Noah thought that there was no hope, okay, that after 5 months of silence, after 5 months of uncertainty, the Bible says that God remembered Noah. Not because he had forgotten Noah, but because God knew what Noah was going through. And in the right time, at the right moment, God intervened on his behalf and did what Noah couldn't do for himself. The waters receded. He was able to get out of the ark. Now, if you, like Noah, have done everything right, but you still feel like you're adrift, I really have good news for you. You know, if in the past few months you ended last year, started this year, I'm going to try to do things right. I'm going to try to live for God. I'm going to make some adjustments in my life, because I want the purpose of God to be accomplished in my life. And you were expecting some quick, easy results, and it hasn't happened. Don't be discouraged. Because like Noah, God remembers your name. He knows what you're going through. He knows the uncertainty of the circumstances that you're living in. And he is about to step out and help you. He is about to intervene in your circumstance and remind you that he is in control of those things in your life that you cannot control. You see, let's think about this logically for a second. God didn't save you from the flood to let you rot on the boat. God didn't die for you. Christ didn't come and die for your sins and rose on the third day. The Holy Spirit didn't come to fill you and empower you just to let you lose, just to let you be defeated, just to let you die in uncertainty. No. God loves you. He cares for you. And he is wanting to intervene in your life, but in his time. And what we're called to do is to remember that God remembers, that God is making a way, and we just need to say, Lord, I trust you. This boat is driving me insane. My job is driving me insane. My spouse is driving me insane. No. But I'm choosing to trust you, Father. I'm choosing to trust that at some moment, at some time, just like you did with Noah, you are going to remember me, and you're going to intervene, and you are going to do on my behalf what I cannot do for myself. God remembered Noah. But God also remembered Hannah. Now, if you're wondering who this Hannah is, she was married to this guy named Elkanah. And she couldn't have children. And this was very disconcerting for her. And she was so sad that her and her family and her husband, they go to the temple to worship. And after this big celebration, she goes back to the temple to pray. And she's very distressed. And this is where we find ourselves in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10. Hannah was bitterly distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but give to your servant a son." So Hannah goes back to the temple and she starts praying, "Lord, I really want a child." Why was this so important? Well, children are a blessing of the Lord. But in this season, in this part of history, children had an even greater significance, because a son was the equivalent of a pension. A son was the equivalent of a nice 401k. It was that thing that you have so that you can retire and enjoy life. See, back in those days, they didn't have banks, they didn't have Social Security, so the only way that you could ensure that you would live good the rest of your life was if you had a son that would take care of you. And Hannah was concerned about her future. She was concerned about what was going to happen next. And she would say, "Lord, I don't know how I'm going to live, because it's just me and my husband. We don't have a child. We need you to intervene. We need you to do something." So she goes to the temple to pray. As she's praying, the priest shows up and sees her praying. And you know, the priest is, he's a man of God. The priest is supposed to be that a person that would convey the word of God and teach the word of God and represent God to the people and the people to God. And as a man of God, he does the weirdest thing that you can possibly imagine. He goes to this woman that is praying at the temple and tells her, "Ma'am, I'm sorry to interrupt your prayer. Are you drunk? Because you're praying out loud to yourself in church. What kind of person does that?" I mean, aren't you glad that the pastors here at Oak Creek Assembly of God, we don't do that? Yeah. Pastor wouldn't appreciate it much either. But he doesn't realize what's going on. This woman is crying out to the Lord, and in her desperation, she's praying, but he is so embarrassed, because I would have been embarrassed too. And he is so embarrassed because of the mistake that he did, that he prays for her. And when he prays for her, he says, "Lord, I pray that you hear this woman's prayer and that you give this woman a son." When Hannah heard that the priest had said, you know, pray for her, when she heard it, she was full of faith. And she said, "Okay, let's go home." She dusted herself off. "Let's go home, because God is giving me a son." She believed. And this is where we find ourselves in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 19. They rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord. Remember that they were visiting the temple, her and her husband. And they went back to their house at Ramah. When they arrived after this long trip, Elkanah knew Hannah. If you're an adult, understand what the word "knew" meant. They were ordering a baby. And the Lord remembered her. And the Lord remembered Hannah. God remembered Hannah and gave her a son, because in the middle of the uncertainty of her future, she was willing to not only trust God, but to act on what God had told her. See, I think that at times we don't see God moving in our lives, not because God doesn't want to move in our lives, but because at times the will of God requires an action on our behalf. It's believing and acting. It's believing and obeying. It's believing and saying, Lord, if you said it, it's going to happen, and I am going to do my part. God remembered Hannah and gave her a son. And if, like Hannah, your future seems uncertain today, and you need a miracle and you need God to intervene, I have good news for you. God remembers your name and He will provide. We serve a miracle working God, and there is nothing impossible for Him. We just need to make sure that we do our part. Because God does miracles, but He will never wash your car, okay? That's your responsibility. God will provide. Just make sure you do what you can do. But not only did God remember Noah and Hannah, but He remembered Israel. And this is a more delicate story. Because Israel had been chosen by God. Israel had been chosen by God not because they were special, not because they were important. Israel had been chosen by God because God chose them, because He wanted to. And He chose them for a very specific reason. He wanted through Israel to bless all the nations of the world, all the families of the world. So Israel was chosen by God for the sakes of the nations. He wanted to bless everybody through Israel. But Israel had a hard time obeying God, had a hard time trusting God. And after many years and many blessings, they developed this thing where they felt that to be a part of the people of God, only a Jew could do it. And they got very ethnocentric. They started thinking only about themselves and started sinning and started worshiping other gods. Because after all, we're blessed. God is with us. Nothing bad is going to happen. And they started worshiping other gods. They started mistreating people. And God gave him a chance and another chance. And God sent a prophet and another prophet. And they kept doing the same thing. And God at one point kept telling them, if you do not repent, if you do not change your ways, I am going to take the land from you. I'm going to take the blessing from you. And you're going to suffer the consequences of your decisions. Because we serve a merciful God. We serve a loving God. We serve a kind God. We serve a God that wants to bless us. But we also serve a God that is just, that is fair, that when we do not follow along what He has taught us, He also corrects us. So the people of Israel didn't follow His lead. And they were punished by it. And they had to live outside of the promised land. And when the temple was destroyed, when Jerusalem was destroyed, and they're in Babylon, the Bible says that they couldn't even sing. They were so sad. Because they thought that all hope was gone. They thought to themselves, this is it. You see, we messed up and now there's no hope for us. Now the consequences of our decisions are so great that God will never love us again. God will never have mercy on us again. And it is in this moment of despair, it is when they're feeling that they're so far away from God. It is when they realize that their sin has separated them from God that God raises the prophet Isaiah. And in Isaiah chapter 49 verse 15, God Himself through the prophet tells this to His people. Can a woman forget her nursing child? That she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even if these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Do you understand how significant that is? That when they felt that they were in the pit at the bottom, when they thought that there was no way out, that sin had separated them from God, that now they were supposed to suffer, God is telling them, yes, you are suffering the consequences of your bad decisions, but I want to tell you something. God is a merciful God, and He has not forgotten about you. And the same God that spoke these words to Israel, I believe He's speaking these words to us as well, that He cares for you, that God remembers your name, and that what He has forgotten is your sin. That when we hit rock bottom and we recognize that we need God, He forgives us. That God remembered Israel, and that God remembers us. You see, if like the people of Israel, you find yourself suffering the consequences of your bad decisions, I have good news for you. God remembers your name. He forgives your sin. He restores you, and your best days are ahead of you. Not because of what you can do, but because God remembers your name and forgets, not only forgives, but forgets your sin. Now, if you are like me, you're most likely thinking, well, Pastor Armin, that is all great, but all of those are Old Testament stories, right? And what about the New Testament? What if the New Testament says something different? No. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the New Testament says the exact same thing. God remember Zacchaeus. Now, this is one of my favorite stories growing up in church. But I didn't understand quite the story, which is fun because it was short, right? And you're, as a little kid, you're short, so you can identify. You can see eye to eye. But no. Zacchaeus' story is more complicated than you might think, because Zacchaeus was regarded as a traitor. You see, Rome had invaded Israel. It had enslaved everybody. And they had some level of freedom, but in reality, Rome were the oppressor. Rome was the country that was subjugating everybody else. And Israel believed that God was going to deliver them from Rome. So you can imagine how bad it was that Zacchaeus chose to work for Rome. Not only work for Rome as in, well, he was working a store. No, he was a tax collector. He worked for the IRS. And the way that they did taxes in those days is that the Roman Empire would hire these tax collectors, and then he would tell them, we are going to charge you X amount of money, $10,000. You collect as much money as you want as long as you give us our $10,000. Whatever is left over is yours. So Zacchaeus was charging people an extraordinary amount of money. He was charging people a lot of money because he wanted to make himself rich. So not only was Zacchaeus a traitor, he was a thief. And he was short. So he heard about Jesus, and he's trying to see Jesus. We don't know exactly why he's trying to see Jesus. Maybe it's curiosity. Maybe he's heard that Jesus had encounters with other tax collectors, and he wanted to see if he could talk to him. We don't know the exact details, but what we do know is that he climbs up a tree, trying to beat the crowd, and he's looking from above as Jesus is getting closer and closer and closer. And this is where we find something wonderful happening. Jesus recognized Zacchaeus, and he calls him by his name. And he tells him, Zacchaeus, come down. Come down, because I want to have a conversation with you. Come down, because I want to go to your house. Come down, because I want to show you mercy. And I come down, because I want to spend time with you. I want to do what no one has ever wanted to do with you. You see, no one who truly valued their reputation would have liked to known Zacchaeus or be seen with Zacchaeus, because they didn't want to be pulled together as a traitor or as a thief. But Jesus, in Luke 19, verse 5, says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. And later in verse 9, it says, and Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. When Jesus recognized Zacchaeus, when Jesus remembered his name and recognized him and said, I know who you are. I know what you've done. Come down, because I want to have a relationship with you. It broke him, because he had never experienced such a love. Someone that loved him regardless of who he was. Someone that says, I want to have a relationship with you. And when God remembers someone by name, he steps in and does something. In this case, he changed the heart of Zacchaeus. He changed his heart in such a way that he was not the same anymore. That he said, I will return what I've done, what I've stolen, and I am going to bless everybody else, because I want to be a different person. I don't want to be the same person anymore, because Jesus called me by my name, and I was reminded of who he created me to be. When everybody else was calling me by my sin, when everybody else was calling me a tax collector, when everybody else was calling me a traitor, when everybody else was calling me a thief, Jesus came and called me by my name, and he reminded me that he had created me with a purpose, and I want to have a relationship with that Jesus. And I believe that that's exactly what we need to do, that we need to be like Zacchaeus. We need to grab a hold to the fact that God knows us by name, that he remembers us. You see, if like Zacchaeus, you find yourself rejected by those who are close to you, if like Zacchaeus, you have been defined by your behavior for a really long time, if like Zacchaeus, you're just in need of friends, I have good news for you. Jesus remembers your name. And when he remembers your name, everything changes. You see, Jesus knows you and loves you anyway. He knows what you've done. He knows what you've thought. He knows what you should have done and didn't do. He knows it all. And for some reason, he still loves you. And like Zacchaeus, he's still calling you as well. Jesus desires to have a relationship with you. Jesus wants to be the first of many friends. He's calling you by your name. The only thing that you need to do to accept that love, The only thing that you need to do in order to experience the transforming power of being called by your name is to let Jesus love you. Is to get off that tree and welcome Jesus into your life. Is to get off the tree and welcome Jesus into your mess. Is to get off the tree and welcome Jesus into your family and your job and your relationship. It's allow Jesus to call you by your name. Allow Jesus to love you. Why? Because when Jesus calls you by your name, everything will change. Everything will change. Now, when the prophets in the Old Testament were talking about God remembering us and remembering our name, they also spoke about God forgetting something. And He never forgot us, but He forgot our sin. And one of the most amazing pictures of heaven, one of the most wonderful images of eternity, it's not the streets of gold and it's not stuff like that. No. For me, it's found in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34, the last portion of that verse. And God is saying, in those days, I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. I will forgive their mistakes and I'll remember them no more. I will remember them. I will remember their name. I will remember what they've gone through. I'll be there with them. I'll intervene in their boat. I'll rescue them from drowning. I'll be there doing the miracle and bringing life. I'll be there forgiving their sins. I'll be there restoring them and rescuing them. I will be there for them. I will never forget their name, but I will forget their sin. God will never forget you. He remembers your name. He knows what you're going through. What He will forget is your sin. If, like Zacchaeus, you go to Him and you say, Jesus, I truly need you. Jesus remembers your name, but forgets your sin, your mistakes, your history. I would like to invite you to stand with me tonight. Because I believe that some of us tonight had to hear these words. That God has not forgotten about you. That He knows your name. He knows what you've been going through. And whether that is some sin that you have to repent from, or whether that is that you need a miracle, or that you need direction, God remembers your name. God remembered you. And what if for the next few minutes, we come to this altar and we say, thank you, God, because you know what I'm going through. Thank you, God, that you know my name. And what if we come to this altar tonight and we say, Lord, I pray that you allow me to trust you enough to repent if I have to trust you and believe that you're in control, or to have that faith to pray for a miracle. As the worship team starts singing, I would like to invite you to just come forward and spend some time worshiping the Lord and saying, Lord, you remember our names, you forgive our sins, you intervene when we can't do anything else. Today we want to worship you.